time once again for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today in studio, I've got Debbie Pappas with Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation, and she has brought in Leslie Hubrick. She is a falconer from, she's up north actually, but she comes down, helps out Debbie when she can, and she's got a great idea we're going to talk about and kind of share with the community as a way that you can help out Debbie as far as with donations and those kinds of things that maybe you haven't thought of yet. So Debbie, Leslie, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today.
Sure. Thank you.
Deb, we're going to start with you first. And I always like to start off these interviews with how are things going at Second Chance? Because I know winter is always a tough time or heading into it.
It is. And we're also dealing with migration issues right now. And the big thing that we're seeing right now are grebe migrations, which means we're getting a lot of calls for downed grebes. We have different species of grebes in Utah. And they're migrating, and they're going to warmer waters. And in the winter and when it's wet, they migrate at night. So when it rains or snows, they get confused. And the roads a lot of time look like water. And since they are a pelagic bird, they'll hit that, and they cannot move from that point. And a lot of people will call, I have a bird, but it has broken legs. No, he doesn't have broken legs. If you look at the legs, they're way, way back on their body, and they're not meant for walking. They're meant for diving in the ocean. So we've been having to deal with a lot of those calls lately, and sometimes we can just get them off the land and into water, but a lot of times they get hurt. So we're dealing with those, and we also deal with them in the spring when they're headed back the other way.
And once again, you function completely off of donations.
Completely.
You're not funded by any source or anything like that other than donations from the public giving you money and coming and helping out with these kinds of things. So let's talk about, before we get into Leslie and her, you know, way that she's helping you out, let's talk about if people want to come and help you out financially, what do they need to do? Where can they go to make that happen?
So we have a Second Chance page on Facebook, which is Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation. They can go there. There's a donate button. We also have a Venmo donation site and PayPal as well. And then the other possibility, I mean, if you drop your a donation off at DWR, it may or may not get to me. There's been times before where people have left checks there and they've just been deposited with DWR stuff, and then they have to reimburse me because they made a mistake. We don't work for DWR. We're not a part of that, but we do work with them. So that has nothing to do with anything there. They can also mail things. We have a post office box in Price, which is box 430. You know, they can call me and just drop it off. I mean, it's our area. It's not like they're driving hours away unless they are coming from Moab or something. But we do cover a huge area. And because of that, one of our main expenses is gas. It's just hideous now. And three times as much with less money. And we're trying to get all over the state to deal with things, including our vet. We have a vet here that we use for some issues, and our main vet is in Payson. So that's a really expensive drive, and sometimes we have to do that two and three times a week.
And so anything that you can do to help out financially, it's well needed. And
well needed.
You need the help.
Your money would not be wasted. My bookkeeper told me once, my CPA, she says, you are probably the leanest 501c3 I've ever seen operate. We don't take any money for ourselves. There's no paid to do anything. Everybody that volunteers for me, no, including myself, it's on you. I mean, I will help with gas, getting people from point A to point B to pick something up for me if they need it. But that's it. Their time, everything is, it's on them.
It's all volunteers.
It's all volunteers.
All volunteer.
Yeah.
So Leslie, let's talk to you now. You are a falconer.
I am.
Uh-huh. And what made you decide to do that? And how many years have you been doing it?
I've been a falconer for 12 years, and I fell in love with a bird actually that was injured. And that's how I got into it. I want to have everything all legal and learn how to interact with these beautiful creatures. And in that process, I've just fell in love with sustaining their life more than anything, and how can we help them in the wild. And that's why I am so privileged to have found Debbie and Second Chance Wildlife, is because that's what they're really doing. They are making a difference for these wild creatures that are needing help. And I didn't even know. I was so uneducated on what they do, and that they are completely volunteer-based, and they're constantly giving to the community and to these wild animals that are needing help. And as a falconer, now seeing this full cycle, this is really where the difference is being made. And so I'm wanting to connect the communities together so that we can be more educated on what they are doing and how can we help them in their nonprofits.
And you have kind of come up with a fairly unique way to help out, you know, wildlife rehabilitators and Debbie in particular. So I want you to spend some time talking about that.
I'm really excited to do this. And Debbie's Second Chance Wildlife is my first project that I'm wanting to do. And eventually, with her help and other volunteers, to take this more nationally. But what I have come in contact with some local hunters that are shooting different ducks and pheasants and rabbit and other wildlife that they're not utilizing the meat fully. If they're lucky, they'll breast the meat out. And if not, in most cases, they don't utilize any of it. And so I'm gathering this meat, and I go to their homes when they tell me that they have some duck or different meat out, and I'll gather it and clean it up, chop their wings off, and I'll pluck 50% of the feathers just to help the cleanliness of the facilities, freezer pack it, and I've been saving it and planning on doing much more of this in the future and bringing it to her facility, and she's going to be able to now feed the owls, the eagles, all the animals that need this healthy meat and pull at it and get their natural engagement with this food, and it'll make it easier for her to release them back out into the wild.
So if anyone is interested in helping out, because it's starting to head into that time, especially rabbits,
yes,
starting to head into that time, what do they need to do?
No lead. So the birds they're required to use steel shot. But we can't take rabbits if they're shooting with lead, because the fact that things get dispersed throughout that body, and what a horrible problem I would be as a rehabilitator if I fed food to my animals that have lead in it, and they ended up coming in as, let's say, hit by a car, and now they have lead poisoning because of something I fed them. So we can't accept anything with lead. Come on. Most people are using tungsten and copper. Let's make the switch. It's easy. The military did it. It's easy. So if that is shot with that, I don't have to worry about fragments going off, but no lead shot anything. And then, you know, just let me know what they have. And I prefer having them with their everything intact, because in the wild, nobody's going to remove their intestines or anything. They need to learn that's not a part that you eat.
Right.
And so, you know, if we have adults in with juveniles, they can show them, and they'll watch. That's how they learn. And so we offer them these foods, and they learn what to do. And so, thank goodness. I mean, yes, we do have to have a lot of things. Bones. If something's just eating meat, they're not going to do well. They need bones. They need fur. They all contain keratin and calcium. So, but we, you know, there's processes, not events, on rehab. And sometimes we can't give them anything with bones quite yet. And so this meat would be appropriate for that.
Okay. So if someone wants to do that, can they get a hold of you? Can they get a hold of you, Leslie? What's the best way to kind of
facilitate this? If it's here, get a hold of me. Yeah. But if it's somebody that's hearing this in another county, Leslie would be easy to get a hold of. But I'm here.
Okay.
So we have the freezers on our property where we store things.
All right. So before we get out of here, Leslie, if you would, can you give us your phone number and let people know how they can get a hold of you if they're interested in doing this?
Yeah. So if you want to get a hold of me, I can come pick it up anywhere. My phone number is 801-623-8487, or else you can email me at meandmyowls@gmail.com, and we'll work on getting it to her. One thing that people also don't realize is the variety that she needs. So like hindquarters of an elk that they don't use, the birds still need a pull at this. And so unusable things that they think is just a waste is not a waste. Fish, lots of things. All of this, as long as it's edible and healthy nutrition, the birds and raptors can use this.
All right. And Debbie, let's give them your phone number as well.
435-650-3441.
All right. Debbie Pappas with Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation and Leslie Hubrick, thank you so much for coming in today and talking about this. If you've got these things that, you know, you're going to go out and do this, and if you want to, you know, help out in another way, give Debbie, give Leslie a call, and they will take care of it for you. Ladies, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Now, for more information on interviews like this, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.